Testing 1, 2. Well, I am there. Hello, friends. Can you believe that? Well, about 5 or 6 minutes late here, but by the grace of God, I'm there. I would like to move a minute, if you'll just kindly be patient with me. I'm talking to you, but I want to see if I'm going out on streaming. I would like to get it on that, if it's possible. This is a very important broadcast to me, and we're there. We are streaming, it says, and so I can see it. No, that's a sermon. That's not what's supposed to be. Here we go. And that's me. I'm coming in now. Hey, my friend, do you have me? Are we there? All right, let's see if we're there. Let me hit this connect button again and see if it puts me on. All right, oh, go live, go live. All right, go live. I'm learning here, and I'm learning on you, and I'm sorry for that. But everything seems to be okay now. Hello, my friends, and welcome. Hello, my friends, and welcome. I don't think that's the right picture, but I'm not really sure. If you're out there and you're listening, somebody call me. Oh, man, what a picture today. Our Father which art in heaven. That's not a bad title, but that's not my broadcast. I'm doing a special broadcast today on prayer. You know, and I'm here. I presume I'm on radio. I presume I'm on internet. And I presume I'm on Facebook. If I'm on Facebook, somebody ought to call me and say, "Hey, Reverend, you okay? What a day. Something went wrong. I cannot tell you. Last week I had a problem. Facebook has redone everything. And you have to come on to Facebook from a different angle. And I don't learn new angles as quickly as I did when I was, 21 or 31, whenever those days was. But I learned them. It takes me a little bit. But bless you. And I think I'm here with you. I think I'm here with you. I think I'm here with you. Not really sure, but I think I am. If you are, send a message, and we'll know in a moment. If not, I will go on, because I am on radio. I'm sure of that. Hey, welcome, friends. This broadcast today is one of my most important. I really love the title. I'm talking about saints crying out to God. Saints praying and crying out to God. There is nothing as imperative in this hour as old-fashioned praying. I am calling the church to prayer. If I'm here for any reason today, it is to call the church world to prayer. It is a desperate need. I can't think of anything more desperate than calling the church to prayer. I mean, we have got to get back to old-fashioned praying. We've got to get back to where we're touching our world for the gospel and for Christ. I see waves, so that I guess that means I'm on, okay? Alive, yes, it shows I'm on live. So we'll continue with the broadcast and just believe that everything's okay and that we're going to have a great broadcast. Now, today, we're going to talk about saints crying out to God. I don't think there's anything that has arrested me in recent weeks and months but the necessity, the utter necessity of old-fashioned praying. You know, a church without prayer is only a religious institution. If there's no praying, there is no visitation from God. God has made it absolutely plain that our method of communion with Him is prayer. The Bible, we hear from Him, and prayer, we talk to Him. The Bible, we hear from Him, and prayer, we talk to Him. And the Father wants us to come to Him and allow Him to make Himself real and to give the church a brand new, breathtaking outpouring of the power of prayer. That's what God wants. I'm telling you, that's what God wants. And He'll do it when we will let Him. He will do it only when we let Him. He cannot do it if we don't let Him. If we don't cry out to Him, God cannot do anything. What did He say? Let's go to the book of Luke and look at something that Jesus said to the early church. "And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, that power from on high comes or came to them because they tarried 10 days. They spent 10 days with God praying, doing nothing but praying. and waiting on the promise of God. And when the promise came, they were set on fire, and power, anointed power came upon them. And it was marvelous, the result. It was marvelous what happened. And it can happen again. I'm telling you, it can happen again. Broadcast is on. I get that message from Otto Rodriguez. Thank you, Otto. The broadcast is on, and I'm excited. I am. Something happened, and it's probably in my doing, because there was just a little niche there that you got to make sure you cover, and I got it covered, and I'm learning. I'm telling you, I'm learning. Now, the church, the early church tarried. They tarried until the fire of God came in all of its splendor, in all of its glory, in all of its power. The fire fell. And when the fire of the church, of the Spirit, I should say, falls upon the church, it becomes a dynamo. It becomes a living organism. The church cannot be a living organism without prayer. Now, let me say that again. I never said it like that before. The church cannot be a living organism without prayer. It is prayer that makes us a living organism. Now, it's not just prayer. God responds to our prayer. And it's God who actually makes us the living organism. But it's prayer that brings us into that fellowship with Him, that He can make us a living organism. If you think God just goes around pouring His Spirit out on people who don't even ask Him, who don't even get along with Him, who don't know how to pray, you are wrong, my friend. It just doesn't happen that way. And that's so evident. So Jesus said to the early church, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That is what He said. That was His absolute word. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, once you see that, go to the book of Acts and let's see it happen. Let's see how it happened. Let's hear it as it comes down to the moment of finality and glory. Jesus first is on the mount with His disciples, and about 500 really altogether, a lot more than His disciples, because only 120 made it to the upper room, or at least stayed there for the 10 full days. But in Acts, He again employs them and says to them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, Jesus was inducing them to prayer. Jesus was directing them to prayer. The church began with prayer. I want to say that until you hear it. The church began with prayer. The church didn't begin with great education and great cathedrals, great buildings, and great, trained choirs, and great trained preachers. The church began with prayer. Simple men from the Galilee area came and obeyed and stayed in that city, in that place of prayer, until the power of the Holy Ghost came. They tarried 10 days. Well, in 10 days, you know what happened. Let me read it to you. When the day of Pentecost was come, fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were in one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Notice they were sitting. They were in church. They were waiting on God. They'd been praying 10 days, and I'm sure they didn't sit 10 days, but they were sitting at this moment, and the Holy Ghost came upon them, and the church was born after 10 days of intense praying. I want you to get that picture. The church was born after 10 days of intense praying. It wasn't fooling around. It wasn't lazy praying. It was old-fashioned saints of God crying out to God. The Bible gives us throughout that Old Testament the requirement of prayer. And He says we ought to pray. We ought to cry out to God. We ought to be heard on high. I mean, you don't sit around and act like you are dead. I get tired of seeing people pray who to me looks like they're asleep. Wake up and cry out to God. I mean, you begin to pray like your main business, and it won't be long until God will show his presence and God will show up. You see, I was saved 68 years ago in this coming March. 68 years. That's 1952. And when I was saved and the church would pray, you couldn't hear your own praying because everybody was praying. And it was in concert, we called it back then. Praying in concert. And everybody prayed. The glory of God would fill that place. It was the most wonderful feeling to be in a place where everybody's praying. And now we just have one to pray. And they usually pray kind of showy like, because they don't want to sound stupid and they don't want to say the wrong things when they pray, so they have to spend more time figuring the right words and saying them right than they do talking to God. But when the church just talks to God, when the church just talks to God, friend, something grand is going to happen. I'm telling you, something grand is going to happen. Now you see, the church was born in prayer. Can I say that again? The church was born in prayer. The church was born in prayer, and the church has got to have and return to old-fashioned praying. You will have just as much power in preaching as you have in praying. You will have just as much power in singing as you have in praying. Your singing will never transcend your praying. Your preaching will never transcend your praying. Do you hear me? Your preaching will never transcend your praying. If you don't pray, if you don't seek God, if you don't cry out to God, if the church doesn't pray, the church is nothing but a religious institution. It isn't worth a hoot. The church isn't worth a hoot to God. It may give you a little fellowship with each other, but it's not going to do anything for the kingdom of God until the church prays. We've got to go back to old-fashioned saints crying out and praying and seeking the face of God. Now, I got so much to talk about today, and I'm so glad I got on the air. I don't know what in the world happened. It's a miracle that I went through all the technical transitions that I have to go through, and I got back. I'm not sure how I got back. Somebody was praying. I'll tell you how I got back. Well, let me take you to Ephesians. Ephesians. Paul really here deals with the heart of this whole matter. If you want to understand prayer, you don't have to have anything but Ephesians chapter 6. That's all you really got to have. Ephesians chapter 6. If you'll go to chapter 6 and let's go to verse 10, chapter 6 of Ephesians. Now make sure you get it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Notice that. Not the power of Joe Chambers. Not the power of Otto Rodericus. Not the power of any preacher out there who may be listening to me. That's not what does it. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, you can only come to that place of strong in the Lord and in the power of his might by prayer and by consecration. If you don't get along with God, you don't live on your knees, if you don't have plenty of time for this Bible, if you don't have plenty of time to get what God's got to give you, then how can you have what God's got to give you if you don't get along with God? You got to get along with him. You got to spend time with him. No pastor ought to ever think he can live without an hour of prayer a day. An hour of old-fashioned praying a day is minimal for a man of God. In fact, if you don't pray an hour a day, quit calling yourself a man of God. Because I'm telling you, the only way you can be a man of God is if you get alone with God and spend good, wonderful, progressive time in the presence of God. So he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now listen, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, how are you going to put on the armor of God? You can't do it golfing. You can't do it hunting. You can't do it fishing. And I'm not preaching against those matters. I'm just telling you, you got to spend time doing the things of God and being with God if you want God to be with you. God is not with anybody that doesn't get with him. God does not impose on you. He does not force himself on you. He does not come and say, I'm going to use you whether you like it or not. No, God waits for you to make yourself available to him. And when you you do, God's going to do something outstanding in your life. He is really going to do it. Put on the whole armor of God. That, and notice this, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I mean, a preacher that don't pray is not even as smart as the devil. Oh, that sounds a little harsh, don't it? I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it again. The preacher don't pray is not even as strong or as wise as the devil. You've got to outwit the devil, and the only way to outwit the devil is to have God mightily working in your life. Notice what he said. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now that word wiles means the devil's many designs. He has so many plans. You see, he's had 6,000 years of activity against the saints of God. 6,000 years, and you've at best had maybe 40, 50. I've had 60. Not many even have that many. And I'm here to tell you, if the devil had 6,000 years, I need more than 6 days. I need to be alone with God. I need to be praying. And if I don't put on the whole armor, I'm not going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I've been pastoring 62 years, and I've been under some bridges, and I've been over some bridges, and I've been through some tough places, and some of those times I didn't do what I should have done. I didn't pray as much as I ought to pray, but I can tell you the times I prayed and the times I stayed on my face with God, God always came through. And right always prevails. Right always prevails if you get along with God. Now, let me read on. For we wrestle. Now, you got to hear this. For we wrestle not against flesh and bones. But we wrestle not against flesh and bones. Now, notice that. Flesh and blood. I said that wrong. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But against. We wrestle not against men. Not against humans, not against friends, enemies, anybody out there. We don't wrestle against people. We may make a personal a wrestle match out of it, but we're ridiculous when we do so. When we try to wrestle with people as man on man, woman with on woman, humans just wrestling, fussing with one another, we make a mess out of the whole thing. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but, listen, but against principalities. Now, you know what principalities are. We're talking about entities of evil power. We're talking about entities of evil abilities and evil desires. Principalities against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now you can't read that verse and not understand that this is a war with the devil and with demons and with dark spirits and with people who come under the power of dark spirits. A man who's doing something evil and wrong is under the power of an evil spirit. The evil spirits of the devil are everywhere. Our world is full of them. And they take human beings, and many times human beings who are so religious and think they're so smart and think they can whip anything and whip anybody. And the devil has all kinds of wits and ways that he comes against us. Now, I got to read that again, because if I don't leave you understanding this today, I've not been fair to you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, you know that's demon spirits, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the Bible said. He rules in this realm over our heads and between here and the heavenly throne. He rules in that great wicked area. And he has demons by the trillions. Demons by the trillions who fell with him. Who rebelled against God. And the devil has these evil powers all orchestrated to do his business. He is well organized. He has a design that is full of his dark, dark wisdom. And his dark activities, and the devil is taking our world right now by storm. You look at what's happening in our world. You look at the darkness and the wickedness and the evil. You look at the political intrigue all over America and the fighting and the fussing. And our president, he's not some religious, great godly man. He's just a good American that loves America and that will fight for America with like a horse. I mean, that man is a fighter, and I'm grateful for him. He's kind of like a Cyrus of ancient days of Israel, and some of those great men of those years didn't know God. Nebuchadnezzar didn't know God, but he sure came down on Daniel's side when the rubber met the road. I'm telling you, he did, and he was converted without a question. Old Nebuchadnezzar was converted, and you look at this and you thank God. I'm telling you, we have a world that is so wicked and so evil that is indescribable. The rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual. Now notice it, spiritual. Notice that spiritual wickedness. The devil is the most religious character in town. The devil operates on religious ideologies. The devil operates in a realm that is an imitation of God. He is an imitated religious character, an imitation of the real, of the genuine. So the Bible calls it spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness. That's a strong term, brother. That means the devil in his wickedness is producing all kinds of religiosities that are just full of hell. They're full of demons and the devil and darkness. It's amazing. And we're wrestling with those. We are in a war with them. Let me tell you a little testimony. Years ago, I developed a headache. And it was one of those headaches that I guess you hear people all the time saying I had, what do they call those headaches? Can't even say it all of a sudden. But I had one. And for weeks, I was just dying with this headache. I took BCs. Most of my Christian life, my preaching life, I've trusted God with all my body. But I had a little period there that I was kind of out of it in the spiritual. Wasn't as close to God as I ought to be. I don't mean I was doing some big, dark, ugly things. I wasn't. But I just wasn't walking close to God. And I developed this headache that was overwhelming. And I went to a camp meeting of the black people of the Church of God back then. They were different and had their own camp meeting. And I hope that's not true anymore. I want them right in the middle of everything I do. But I can tell you that I went to their camp meeting. And the preacher that night preached from this text. And he used hand-to-hand combat with the devil. That was his title. Hand-to-hand combat with the devil. And man, did he preach. I mean, we're talking about 35 years ago, something like that, 40. And he preached a great sermon. And I was sitting there listening to him preach and loving every minute of it. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, that headache that you have is an attack of Satan. If you will turn it over to me, I will heal it and it will disappear. And I thought, now, Father, I've been suffering with this thing for weeks, months. I mean, it's been terrible. And now all of a sudden, the simple solution is handed to me. Just turn it over to God. And I want you to know, I turned that headache over to God right there. It disappeared, and I've never had a headache since. Okay? Can you handle that? I've never had a headache since. And God healed me just like that, and it disappeared. I was in combat with the devil. You say, can the devil make you sick? Can the devil make you sick? He is the master of sickness. Sickness came from him. He is the source of every ugly thing, of every dark thing, of every disease, of every calamity. He's the source of all of that. We got to understand that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the powers of darkness, the principalities and the powers of the air, spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, if you think you in your flesh without praying, you hadn't prayed in a month, some of you. Some of you preachers don't pray 15 minutes a week. And you get up and try to preach sermons. And they're nothing but religiosity. That's all it is. And until you get anointed by the Holy Ghost, your preaching's not going to help nobody. It's not going to change nobody. It may be a psychological kind of thing that has a little psychological effect, but that passes quicker than it comes. I'm here to tell you that we wrestle against dark powers out of hell. We wrestle against dark powers out of hell. And you got to learn to do this battle in the spirit and not in your flesh. You got to learn that, my friend. Quit battling with somebody physically. Quit fussing and arguing and running all kinds of routes and running all kinds of rigmaroles in your effort to make things go like you want them to go, and turn them over to God. And get in this Bible and let God become the source of your life. I'm telling you, the devil didn't want this on the air. And I can understand why. Because I'm telling you, he'll be defeated the moment you make up your mind to turn it over to God. You get in this Bible and you learn to get on your knees and pray until heaven comes down. Pray till you pray through. I was listening to a big preacher in this town some months ago. Somebody sent me one of his sermons. And he said, there ain't nothing to praying through. Anybody tells you you can pray through, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, that crazy dude doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to call his name, don't worry. I'm telling you, you can pray till you pray through. And if you don't pray till you pray through, you ain't done much praying. And most of you have never done much praying. Most of you say a few words, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. You remember that one? I learned that one as a little boy. I prayed it many times way back then. I don't pray it no more. I just talk to God out of my heart. I talk to God because I love him and I cry out to him. We got to go on. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now you got that? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's how we're wrestling. Every one of you, if you're a Christian, you're wrestling with that. You may not know it. You may just be a completely defeated person. You may live under the darkness of your gloom and your doubts day after day. We got a church world that is so far beneath their privilege in the way they live until I'm overwhelmed, living beneath the privilege. Why, if you had a daddy who was a millionaire and he said to you, you can live here in the mansion, I'll make sure you have a nice automobile, there'll be plenty of food, just help me keep things moving, and would you be foolish enough to say, no, I'm going to go out and I want to be one of those train hijackers. I want to ride the trains and live on whatever I can pick up out of a garbage can somewhere. Wouldn't you be stupid to leave a home of all your satisfaction and go to be a streetwalker and a street person. No, you wouldn't do that. You'd be foolish. Well, that's what we are in most of the church world. We're just streetwalkers. We're just lazy. No, we don't pray. We don't talk to God. We don't get along with God. We wonder what's happened to the church. I'll tell you what's happened to churches. You and me. It's us. It's those who don't pray and those who don't cry to go, oh, man, forgive me. I love you. Please don't doubt me. I love you. I just want God to break through. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You got it? Did you get that? Now, you remember, that's in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. You ought to memorize it. You ought to keep it on your mind. And you ought to learn that you're in a great warfare and that you can win. You have the power to win. And it's in God. It's not in you, but it's yours. You have the right to it. He has promised it to you. Everything the devil does to you, he couldn't do it if you trust God and stop him. You have a right to stop the devil. You have a right to stop him. You have a right to bind him by the blood and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wherefore now take unto you the whole armor of God. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. Faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench. That means stop all the fiery darts of the wicked. Do you understand that? Here comes a dart from the devil. I believe God, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, you devil, you lying demon, you lying spirit. See, that's what he said. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench. You know what quench means. Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ah, devil, you mess around me, I'm going to cut your head off with the word of God. I'm going to chop you away with the word of God. That's what the Bible is for. The Bible is for you to believe and live in so that you can actually put an end to what the devil is trying to do to you. That's God's plan. That's God's will. That's what God promised, taking all the shield of faith, wherewith he shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Faith and the word of God. Can you believe that? Faith, you quench the darts of the wicked, and the word of God is a sword. The word of God is a sword. Now, above, he doesn't end there. Praying always. Praying how often? A-W-A-Y-S. Praying always. Say it with me. Everybody out there, say it. Praying always. Praying always. Praying always. Are you saying it? Are you hearing this? Dear friend, I'm your friend. Man, I'm your friend. We're in a battle today. We're in a war, not a battle of war. And the devil is winning. And why is the devil winning? Because people aren't praying. Simply, we're not living in this this great passage. Take the helmet of salvation. Now, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Are you getting me? Are you understanding, Brother Chambers? Praying in the Spirit. What do you mean praying in the Spirit? Well, Paul said it. We know not how we should pray as we ought, but the Holy Ghost maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he prays according to the will of God. That's praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the gift of tongues. Why do you think he gave us the gift of tongues? To run around and act like a bunch of giddy idiots? You think he gave us tongues just to put on a big show? I got the Holy Ghost and we go into some kind of rigmarole of syllables? No, 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 no. He gave us this wonderful Holy Ghost, a literal language. It's actually the language of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And so he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, in the river, as I've been talking all week. He said, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. My friend, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's verse 18. Ephesians 6 and 18. Read it. If you would take this scripture and you would start living in it, you'd become a dynamo in your church. You really would. You'd become a dynamo. And before you know it, you'd be used of God. You'd see miracles. You'd see some things happening. That's what we're praying here. We are crying out to God to set us aflame. We've got to see a visitation of God. Let me tell you something. Now listen, America is at the crossroad. America is at the crossroad. One of two things are going to happen. We're either going to have an awakening. We're going to cry out and pray and seek God until America has a spiritual awakening. Or God's going to judge us and put us in the fire. God's going to judge this sodomite nation. I'm telling you, if we don't pray and get a hold of God, America is going to be judged. God's not a liar. And God doesn't let no nation rule on in his filthy lifestyle, killing babies by the millions, homosexuals and lesbians everywhere, transvestites walking, boys in girls' bathrooms and girls in boy bathrooms. And I have a right, I'm a transvestite. Yeah, I catch one of you in there with one of my family members and I'm going to throw you out. I'm telling you right now, if you don't believe it, you just try me. You say they'll put you in jail. I'll have a prayer meeting in that jail. I promise you that. Listen to me. I'm telling you, we are living on the verge of some dark things. And America is going down the tube so fast, it isn't even funny. I mean, only this good president has helped put the brakes on a little bit of our descent into hell. But he hasn't been able to stop it. And they'd kill him if they had a chance. They can't stand him. That liberal crowd that hate the Bible and hate the truths of God also hate him. And I can understand why they hate him. But I pray for him and God's going to take care of us. And I pray that we can survive until that rapture takes place and Jesus comes. All right, praying with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit and in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all, listen, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, we wrestle not. Now, you got to go read this. Book of Ephesians, chapter 6, begin with verse 10. Read those verses, about 8 or 10 of them, and they'll change your life. They'll change your life. And you got to quit being a prayerless person. If you're a minister, get on your face and stay there until God breaks through in your life. You say, Brother Chambers, I prayed and prayed, nothing happens. Well, keep praying. Something will happen. Maybe you haven't repented. Maybe you don't believe. Maybe you're praying for a show. I mean, it's all up to you to humble yourself. Humble yourself before God. Give up all of your expectations of how great you are and how masterful you can sing or how masterful you can preach or your religious actions. Give up on you doing it. Let God do it. Let God take over. Learn to pray. I'm telling you, I'm learning to pray, and God is helping me. You say 68 years, and you're just learning? I'm learning more than I ever knew. I tell you that. Remember what Paul said? I count not myself to have apprehended that for which I was apprehended. But there's one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he goes on to talk about that pressing and that surrender, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. He said that I might be conformable to his death. Literally die like Jesus died in the spirit, of course. He was talking of spiritual death, giving up the old flesh, keeping ourselves humble before God, walking in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, living in the Word. I'm crying out to you, saints. I really am. And I'm telling you, thank God he helped me get on the air today. And I pray so much that a lot of people are listening to me. And God is turning your life around. It'll make me happy to know that God is listening and you are listening. And that somehow God is getting us ready for a sovereign move. I want a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost that shakes Charlotte, North Carolina. It might start today. It might start tomorrow. It might. I'm telling you, I'm waiting on God. I'm believing him now. I got so much, and I'm just going to let the Lord lead me here. Let's go back to Daniel. I want you to go back to Daniel with me. The book of Daniel. Daniel was a great prayer man, prayer warrior. Let me say it right. Daniel was a great prayer warrior. He really was. And let me tell you what happened. Let's read it, if you might. Go get your Bible. Daniel chapter 10. Chapter 10 of Daniel. Let's go to verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understanding the word that I speak unto you, and stand up, rising from unto thee, and I will send a word. And when he had spoken, I'm sorry. I forget this thing. You know how it is. I'm going to go back and read that again. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the word that I speak unto thee, and stand up. Stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. Unto thee am I now sent. When he had spoken this word unto me, I stood up. I stood trembling. I bet he did. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy word. I am come for thy word. But the prince of the king of Persia, withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, came unto to help me, and I remembered there, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Here is a mighty chief angel that came to help another angel with Daniel's petition that he had made to God. I mean, Daniel had been praying 21 days, fasting, hadn't eat. I mean, he was really laying before God, seeking God. And God said, I heard you from the first day you got on your knees, from the first day you prayed. And I've been resisted. The king of Persia has been standing against me. The king of Persia. That was the day I ran. It's kind of like yesterday, day before, when our president slaughtered that dark man out of Persia. Same country, did you know that? Persia. The king of Persia withstood me. See, the devil's always had a hankin' for Persia, for Iran, and he's had mighty power there. So what we see, oh, isn't that amazing? I didn't even think about that when I said, and the king of Persia withstood me. The king of Persia withstood me, and I am come. I am come to help that angel. And he said, I'm sending Michael, one of the chief princes. You know, when God took me here a few days ago, the Lord told me, I've been fighting some dark spirits in this city. I have done that all these years, ever since I've been here. But the last 6 months, 8 months, really over a year now, it's been a dark period, and the devil has been determined to destroy me. I mean determined. And God said, I'm sending a chief prince to help you. And he arrived sometime earlier this week. A chief prince to help me. I don't see him. I don't need to see him. He's working somehow, somewhere, pulling down strongholds. And if you're one of my enemies, I'd say I'm afraid for you. You better back up and leave things alone and stay out of the battle, because it's dangerous to get in a spiritual battle. Because if you got a man of God on God's side doing God's business to the best of it, I'm nothing. I am so nothing that I'm less than nothing. I tell people I'm so common, I'm uncommon, you know. But I depend on God, and he's always come through. He's always come through. He's never failed me. Never failed me. And I, Daniel, stood alone, saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great shaking, quaking, fell upon all of them, that they fled to hide themselves. Oh, great God. This morning as I was praying, I come here about 6. I was a little late this morning. And we pray. And God has been coming down in that sanctuary. It has been breathtaking. I'm telling you, we are so near an awakening. I am trembling with excitement to think about what God is going to do. Because, you see, this is true throughout the Bible. When God has a man standing for him, God's going to stand for that man. So I don't care who you are out there, where you are. You may be hearing me in Australia. You may be listening to me in South Africa. You may be listening to me up in Russia. You may be listening to me out in California. You may be listening to me down in South America. I'm here to tell you, you get along with God. You get alone with God according to this Bible. You humble yourself and seek the face of God and pray. Cry out to God with all surrender. Don't forget, it's by the blood. Nothing but the blood opens the door into the prayer chamber. You can't get in the prayer chamber because you're handsome or because you're beautiful. You get in the prayer chamber because the power of the blood will open the door for you. So humble yourself and seek the face of God in all humility. Forget anything you think that is so high and mighty about yourself, because your high and mighty goodness is no good in God's battle. God's got to have a broken and contrite vessel. Oh, I'm telling you, God revealed a scripture to me some time ago that has thrilled my heart. Thus saith the high and lofty one, whose name is holy, who inhabits eternity, who dwells in a high and holy place. He said, not only do I dwell in a high and holy place, but with him who is of a humble and contrite spirit. That's Isaiah 67. So go read it for yourself. My dear friends, I'm sorry, I believe that's 57. I got to find that. I don't want to leave you thinking. You've got to go read that. I'm telling you. So, I love the book. Yes, it is 57. And verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Humble yourself. You aren't nothing. Just like I'm nothing. I'm just a trusting little boy. Man alive, I have nothing of which to brag. But I know one thing. I know my God. And I love him. And I've been washed in the blood. I've been washed in the blood. I'm saved by the blood. I'm living in the power of the blood. I'm overcoming the devil by the blood. I'm living in that living waters that Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, I have about 12 minutes. I'm going to open the lines here. I'll be glad to take some calls. I believe there's been calls coming in that I didn't even know about, because I'm so busy here telling you what God's laid on my heart. If God has ever spoken to me, he has spoken to me about prayer. And he spoke to me to call you to prayer. Don't just listen to Joe Chambers and say he's okay. You get in this Bible and you get a hold of what I'm talking about from God. Now, I'm going to open the lines. And if anybody wants to call, I will take some calls now. Let me see if I can get this phone straight now. There's been so many calls coming in. It's got it all time. I'm sorry. Give a call and I'll try to get to it. I love you. And I want you to have this Holy Ghost anointing upon you. You have nothing until you pray and God lays his hand on you. You got to hear me when I say that. A church that doesn't pray is nothing but a religious institution. You've got to have prayer. Everybody listening to me, if you don't ever half pray, you are a pitiful excuse as a Christian. You must learn to pray. Any Christian that doesn't pray, I mean, you need a minimum of 30 minutes a day. Most of you need an hour a day. Some of you are so carnal, it'll take 2 hours for some of you to get yourself straightened out. We love the pleasures of the world. We love everything but God. And I'm telling you, the joy of God is sweeter and richer and greater and more wonderful and more precious than anything this whole world's got. I'm here to tell you, it is wonderful to serve the Lord. I'm going to listen for some calls here. I hope I can hear them. And I don't know that I can find my phone. Has had so many calls, it doesn't show me the numbers. I don't know what I can do about it. Let me see here. If I can find a way, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. I'll try. I sure would like to take some calls. 1-800-338. No, you don't need to dial that. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Give me a call. You want to ask a question about this prayer life, the beauty of it, the power of it, the glory of it. Do you believe this Bible that I've read to you today? I've given you truth that's so powerful and so wonderful. It'll change your life, and you'll never be the same. Let me take you. You like that with Daniel? How God sends a great angel. I like that when he said, and I have sent, let me find the right scripture here. I love it so much. I turned my Bible away from the book of Daniel. Let me go back to Daniel. I love that scripture in Daniel, and I want you to really get a hold of that. I want that to get a hold of you. And I, Daniel, it says, great day. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes came to help me. Why don't you say that and then believe God to send a prince to help you if you're in a big struggle? You say he don't do that today. Why, he does everything in this Bible. This Bible don't change. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no change with God. The Old Testament and the New Testament, all part of the same Bible. I'm here to tell you, friend, he sends his angels to fight for us. You go to Hebrews chapter 1, and you read what the Bible says about his angels. I'm looking for it, because I'm going to read it to you. It's so powerful. It really does stir my heart when I read these scriptures and see all that God's got for me. I don't know whether he's got it for you. No, yeah, I do. He's got it for you just like he has me. Let me read this verse to you. It'll be good for you. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Are they not all, talk about angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Are they not all, this is angels. Read verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them, not to them, for them, which shall be heirs of salvation? Angels are ministering for us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against wicked powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. You got to have something to battle with besides just your hands and your mouth and your own personal labor. You got to learn that your battle is in the name of the Lord. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle is in the name of the Lord. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. The Bible said the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I mean, you can just go on and on in this Bible with the great promises. The great promises that we are the victors. Well, another call came and I was busy and I didn't hear it. I'm sorry. I'm here having a good time loving and bringing you the wonderful truth of God. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians to end this broadcast today. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, wonderful truth that I've loved for years. I've loved and depended on it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Are you listening? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And you can read on. It's more and more and more of that. And there are many scriptures. The Bible is full of this warfare. The Bible is full of this battle we're in. The Bible is full of warnings to us that we need something supernatural to overcome the powers and the wiles of the devil. The Bible warns us that Satan is out to destroy us. He goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You remember that? That's in Peter. He goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil, right now, has got his eyes set on every one of you. Every believer out there, the devil wants to get you to disbelieve and quit believing and not to pray and not to trust God. The devil's got his eyes set on you, friend. He goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Are you listening to me? Some of you are and some of you aren't. We are living in a world that just doesn't want to understand spiritual warfare. They just don't want to understand the battle that they're in. They don't realize that we're fighting hell. We're fighting demons and dark spirits and antichrist powers. We're fighting forces that are terrible. The church is full of people who are so cocky and haughty and smart aleck, and they think they can almost handle God. Heard about a man the other day who was telling his workmates God listens to me. I can talk straight to God. And he was dead in a few days with a heart attack. Now, I'm here to tell you, friend, you can't mess with God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Did you know that? That's Bible. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Friend, we're in a war. We're in a war that's overwhelming. I didn't get to any phone calls because I got too much to tell you. But I promise you I'm going to deal with this subject, and I'm going to help you get in this battle with all you got and learn to pray and learn to trust God. Get yourself full of the Holy Spirit and learn to live in this Bible. This is the sword of the Spirit, the Bible said, the sword of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost uses this book to conquer and defeat and put down and turn the devil on his head. My friend, the Lord God wants to turn the devil on his head. Did you know that? The Lord God wants to turn the devil on his head. And God will do that. He'll overcome the powers of hell. He just got to have some people. See, America is at a crossroad. I weep for America. We're at a crossroad. We're either going to have an awakening or we're going to have judgment. God has to do one or the other. But many times America's been at this place. And there's been so many awakenings in America. Different parts of the world have had them. Countries have been saved because the church had an awakening. Cultures have been saved because the church prayed until there was an awakening. We can save America if we got time. If God, you know, gives us a little space. I don't know how quick the coming of the Lord is. But I know one thing. God will use praying people, and he will help them break through the crud and the darkness. Will you help me? Will you become a prayer warrior with me? Every preacher out there, set 6 o'clock every morning to be on your face and spend the rest of your years praying every morning at 6, at least an hour. Sometimes if you really pray, it'll turn to 2 and it'll turn to 3. I've had days when I'm here 4 hours, loving every minute of it because God is so real. And I'm nothing. Please understand, I'm just dependent on God. And I'm crying out to God because I love you. And I want to see God do something for us and through us and with us like we've never seen before. And I got to go. I'm preaching tomorrow. I may preach on Ephesians chapter 6, chapter 5, chapter 6, whichever it was. I may preach on that tomorrow. I don't know. Whatever God leads. But I promise you we'll have church in the morning. And we'll have a great meal. We always have a great meal. I'm cooking tomorrow a big stew of oysters. A big oyster stew for my friends who show up tomorrow. I like the thought of that. Man, do I like the thought of that. Well, I got to get back here and get more of that song. I want to play a little more of it. Praise God. I love you. I love you. God bless you. Love to see you in church tomorrow. Paul Creek Church, 5110 Tuckasegee Road. And I love you. I do really love you. sucker.
Saying, make
sweet Lord.
Me your choice.
A sucker.
And I enter the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide sea.
Storm
be deep, but in Jesus, I am safe.